In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So in truth, brothers and sisters, from the beginning of the Church's life, from the ministry of our Lord and Savior, there has been this tension, real or imagined, between the truths of Christ and the reality of the state. The power of individual men to govern themselves as they see fit, to direct the course and actions of their lives as they so decide and understand. But in truth, that has never been the case, because that conceptualization bespeaks somehow a license that the human person has to precisely be that, to be his own master, to be that self-directed and willful, where in truth we belong to God first, last, always. The direction and trajectory of our lives and our existences is to give fitting glory and praise to God. This is the reason we are here. This is the reason we exist. And so that tension between church and state, between society, culture, and the truths of God is a misunderstanding of man's proper place in relationship to God himself, and how in truth everything that man has created, everything that man has wrought, everything that man understands must be subject to God. And God must be the one to whom we go in order to make sense as to how we would then dispense with the things that have been bestowed upon us. This is, in truth, and very simply put, the complete subjugation of our will, our desires, and our wants to the things of God, only and always. And in each moment, in each understanding of how we live our existences. And if in hearing that we bristle as if somehow it is an attack on our freedoms, or we find it altogether too much to contemplate that every aspect of my life and every aspect of my being must be given over to God, then this is not the place for you. And the altar of sacrifice is not a place that you should approach. Because to receive the living God, to take God inside of yourself, is to commit yourself to this reality and this reality alone. It admits to no compromise. It certainly doesn't admit to your interpretation, your understanding, your wants and needs and desires. As even good as they might be, as properly oriented as they might be, all of us, everything about us, must be subject to God. There is a very famous interpretation given to the end of this passage from St. Matthew's Gospel, given to us by St. Hilary of Poitiers, who says, once we have given God everything that belongs to God, there is nothing left to give to Caesar. And in truth, that is correct. Because whatever it is we might feel we need to give over to the state will be only that, leftovers. Everything that is good and right and holy will be given over to God. And that is how we will live then our existences in this life, to prepare ourselves for the life to come. No one has ever said this was an easy task to accomplish. Of course, the Lord himself walked a fine line until it was clear that in the fullness of time, it was his way of conquering the world through sin and death, by taking on the powers and principalities of the age, not in the way that men conceive, not meeting power with power, but meeting power with grace and truth, overcoming the wickedness of the world in which we live, not by condemning men, but by setting them free from them very selves, by pouring out grace upon grace to give them the grace and strength and wisdom they needed to live rightly in the world and to make right decisions. This is why oftentimes we might, as Catholics, be cowed into keeping our opinions to ourselves, lest somehow we step into the public square. These are the things of politics, not the things of the church, but everything belongs to us. And we can render our opinions, our insights, and proclaim the truth in any situation. We should never allow anyone, any government, any power or might tell us that we are not allowed to weigh into the public sector and into the public forum and let men know how they should live their lives. Not because we know better, but because of what it is that God has given to us. This is why we exercise our franchise. This is why we vote. This is why we offer wisdom and an insight as to the best way to adjudicate the things of the world, so that we can always put first and foremost the kingdom of God and bring about the salvation of men. And if it is perceived that we are weighing into politics, then so be it. It is merely a perception and not the truth. The truth is that which God has given to us. And that is what we must proclaim, regardless of how it will be received, or how we might end in some type of opprobrium, resisted or even hated by the very world in which we live. We indeed are in good company if we are rejected by society and culture, because those who have gone before us have likewise been rejected. Our God himself suffered death because of his conflicts with dominant society and culture. And if God freely did so, there should be no reason for us to fear what men might do to us, more so fearing what God might do if we shy away from the truth. By tradition, this Sunday is given over to the propagation of the faith, to go forth and to evangelize to the world, precisely because the world needs the truths of Christ and Holy Mother Church. St. John Paul II said in one of his very earliest encyclicals that Jesus Christ was the revelation of man to himself, that apart from Christ, no human being, not just believing men, practicing men, but no human being could understand themselves completely and totally unless they had Christ and Holy Mother the Church. We can't keep this to ourselves. This cannot be something that we hold fast to, or we are only practicing Sunday from Sunday, but during the week we are ashamed or embarrassed to go forth and to live our faith. That cannot be the case. Because if you don't care about your own soul, care about the souls that you love, those who don't know Christ, those who do know and have rejected him, those who have walked away and abandoned the practice of their faith, they need you to live yours well, deliberately, consciously in the world, to be an example to them that indeed this can be accomplished as we cooperate with the grace of God. Men need this to be who God intends them to be, pure and simple. I'm never quite sure why it is that we complicate things. And maybe I will own my own statements. Why I complicate my life. I know the answer to that. I complicate my life because oftentimes the complications stem from my desire to do what I want, to be the master of my own life, to create my own reality, to make my life easy or simple. My life becomes complicated because I refuse to carry the cross, or I'm embarrassed in a particular situation. But it always comes down again and again to my selfishness, my willfulness, my unwillingness to love God first, last, and always. As it is for me, brothers and sisters, so it is for you. Not because I can read your hearts, but because we are sinful men and women. Not because we necessarily want to be, but beset as we are by concupiscence and the weakness that has been wrought on us by original sin, oftentimes we tend to the easiest path, the least difficult path, the path that does not require the cross. But there is no salvation apart from Christ and him crucified. There is no joy or peace that comes from the cheap and easy grace that the world will offer to us. The only way to authentic grace, to authentic peace, to true and lasting joy is to pick up our crosses and follow our Lord and Savior. And in the fullness of time, what begins to develop is a lack of concern about the world in which we live. Not an ignorance to it, not a blindness to it, but simply an indifference to it. I do not care what men think about me. I only care what God thinks. I'm not concerned about my place in the world, what money I might have, or how I might be well thought of by other men, or what power I might be able to amass unto myself. I'm only concerned about God, him, and him alone. There is something quite beautiful about getting older. Because in this process of losing energy, in this process of gaining some wisdom from hard-lived experiences, it does happen that you simply don't care. I'm old enough to no longer care what people think about me because I have less of my life ahead than I do behind me. And therefore, as I look to the future, as limited as it may be, I find myself more concerned about what it is that is happening next. I'm under no illusion to a life lived into my hundreds and my hundreds and twenties. I don't want to live that long. But more importantly, I want to live unto God. And that begins here and now, living rightly with the Lord, and then going forth and proclaiming this truth to others so that they may be able to do the same. And if there is sacrifice, if there is suffering, if there are choices that must be made which will be hard and difficult to endure, God will give me the strength to endure them. God will give you the strength to endure them. As I have said repeatedly from this very spot, the transformation of the world will come, not through governments as much as we try to change them and put them on the right path. It will come by each of us deliberately, consciously living our Catholic faith in the world. And then we become instruments of God's grace for the transformation of the hearts of men who become hardened to the truth. The more we cooperate, the better instrument we can be, and the greater God's grace can truly be expressed throughout the world, throughout the earth. And so take heed of our Lord's exhortation. Take heed of the words of St. Paul. Give to God everything that belongs to God, which is indeed everything that is good in you, about you, with you, and for you. Give all of that to God, and think nothing about the things of men, because who we are and whose we are is God's first, last, always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.